Thank you for the privilege, opportunity to preach. God, help our hearts together. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful preaching we've just heard. And the man of God that delivered, "Thus saith the Lord," what a help, Lord, in all of our lives. And Lord, we pray for your unction, your power. Lord, help us today as, Lord, we try to preach, Lord, exactly what you put on our heart. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to back up and just lay a little groundwork in Isaiah chapter number 5. This chapter begins with God's discussion of the nation of Israel and how they were His vineyard. The Bible says in verse 1, if you'll look at the first verse of the chapter, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." Now notice what God did for Israel. The Bible says in this vineyard, "And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choice vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." Do you know God was conscious of the fact that he wanted this vineyard to have every opportunity to be productive and to produce fruit, to produce something that was going to be pleasant, something that was good. And yet the Bible says this vineyard did not produce or bring forth those good grapes. It brought forth wild grapes. Verse 3, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard." And I'm drawn to verse number 4 because I see this in modern Christianity. Look, verse 4. "What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it?" God's saying, "What else could I have done to produce good fruit in this vineyard more than what I've already tried to accomplish by removing the stones, by planting the choice vine?" By the way, that's a picture of Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the vine and we are the branches. Amen. And that is John chapter number 15. Amen. God gave the best chance for Israel to succeed and go for God. And I think about this generation. Oh my, there are young people sitting in this building. God's done everything in the world for you so that you could produce good fruit in your life. By the very nature that you're sitting here in Smoky Mountain Youth Revival is a testimony to me that either a parent or a pastor or a youth pastor cares about what is produced in your life. God's given you the best. God's given you every opportunity to succeed. And yet, sadly, there will be many that will sit through the preaching, will sit through the encouragement, will sit through the instruction, and yet turn God away and squander the privileges that you have been given, such as this. God said, "What else can I do?" Listen, this week you guys need to be sensitive and responsive to the Word of God and what God's speaking to your heart. Don't squander what God has given you in opportunity. Boy, I remember in my youth, I was privileged to be around some men of God that took me under their wing. I was raised in the mountains of western North Carolina, just east of Asheville, a little town called Swannanoa. And I had a man by the name of Ken Jenkins that as a young teenage boy, he took me under his arm and cared about me as a young man. Another preacher in my life was a man, he's with the Lord now, Brother B.B. Boyle. And that man of God, he instilled some things in me as a young man. They took us to youth camp. I remember the 4th of July week. We'd load up and go to Camp Macedonia in Lula, Georgia. Man, at that camp, God got a hold of my young heart. I'm glad as a young man I didn't squander the opportunities of what God was investing in my life. I responded to the Word of God. I responded to the truth of God. And I know I'm at where I'm at today because God did some things in my youthful life. What has God given you an opportunity to respond to the truth? Don't squander, don't waste what God's trying to work in your life. So we see the vineyard. Verse 5, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. Break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain not, rain upon it. You better be afraid of the day that God would remove His protective hand from you. You keep turning away God speaking to your heart. God might just decide to say, okay. Just like He did with the nation of Israel in that choice of a king, just gave them what they wanted. That's a scary thing. And God offers several woes in this chapter. I told you this is a great chapter of the Old Testament. Look at verse number 8. Woe unto them. Verse 11, woe unto them. Verse 18, woe unto them. Verse 20, woe unto them. Verse 21, woe unto them. Verse 22, woe unto them. You know, even a horse knows what woe means. Whoa! A horse has enough sense when the word woe is spoken to know it's time to slow down and stop. Put the brakes on. Do you know horses have more sense than some young people? Boy, that was probably not a good thing to say. But it's the truth. An animal has more sense than some of, and not just young people, all of God's people. When God gives a warning and says, you better stop what you're doing. Whoa! And just keep on going. Whoa! May God help us all as His people to listen to Him and have more sense than a horse. Whoa! Now look at verse number 8. We're going down the runway. One of my favorite parts of flying is when you get there on the runway, on the getting ready to take off, and those engines rear up. I love that power, that thrust of taking off. And it takes a while before that thing catches air and then lifts into the sky. But I love going down that runway. Just to let you know where we're at in the message, we're still going down the runway, okay? But look at verse number 8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. This is a woe of identification. In this verse, there is no boundaries. There is no separation between houses, between fields. There is no place that they may be placed alone or separated from anyone else. Listen, We live in a generation where everything's all muddied together. There is no separation from the church, from the world. The churches have allowed the world to come into the church. The church is trying to act like the world, and it's all meshed together. Listen, when you come to church, amen, you ought not to have a church that looks like a nightclub, amen. A church ought to be separated. A church ought to be different. This is God's house. This is a place of worship, amen. And we need some identification. God's people ought to be separate. God's people ought to be holy. There's no identification. Everything's all muddied together. Listen, the devil and the world is so pressed upon this generation of young people. Listen, young people today are so confused, they don't know whether they're a boy or a girl. Listen, I grew up, I was born, I'm a 71 model. We didn't have any trouble with that. I knew I was a boy, amen. We played and act like boys, amen. And I knew, amen, what gender I was. Listen, this generation's all mixed up. God gives a woe, a warning here of identification. We need to be a separate people. We need some identification. Amen. Now, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Look at verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. This is the woe of intoxication. How many young people have been deceived because they took a sip of some intoxicating drink and became addicted and ended up in a drunken stupor? Listen, you better stay away from the bottle. You better stay away from strong drink. The Bible says in Proverbs not to look at it. Stay away from it. You're going to be the beneficiary staying away from strong drink. Amen. How many people have had their life ruined because somebody was given to the bottle? Maybe a dad that was abusive. Maybe a drunken driver that killed someone you love. People been affected by strong drink. This is a woe of intoxication. You better stay away from stuff that is intoxicating. Stay away from it. The labels, Miller High Life. No, it's Miller Low Life. Budweiser. No, it's Bud Dumber. Intoxicating drink. You need to stay away from that stuff. I worked for about 10 years when I pastored in Virginia as a chaplain with the Russell County Sheriff's Department. I could give all kinds of stories about strong drink. But I remember one particular evening, it was actually early morning, in the wee hours of the morning, that I got a call to go to this residence. There was a mother that was weeping because her 19, 20-year-old son had drunken so much, had drunk of some intoxicating beverage at a party, that he went out from the party into the parking area where his truck was and crawled up in the back of his trunk, just stone drunk. And they found him early the next morning. He aspirated on his own vomit. He was so intoxicated, he didn't even turn when he was vomiting and throwing up and choked and aspirated on his own vomit. And I'm the one that's called to go deal with that weeping mother because her 19 or 20-year-old died that night at a party because of strong drink. I'm telling you, all these advertisements and things that promote you're going to have a good time and you're going to party and you're going to have fun and this is the good life. No, it's not. Amen. Sin brings forth death. Amen. You need to stay away from that stuff. That's a woe. Amen. Have good horse sense. Amen. That's a woe of intoxication. Now, I'm going to get to our text. I've got to hurry. Look at verse number 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is a woe of insight. Having sense, having understanding about what reality is and what God says, and people's all mixed up in their mind, in their thinking. This group, this generation, listen, as the world is concerned, in the secular world, people are crazy. We say of people that don't have good sense, the elevator don't go all the way to the top floor. There's bats in the belfry. The cheese done slid off the cracker. I mean, there's all kinds of little sayings about that. The bars are down, the lights are flashing, but there just ain't no train. The wheel's still turning, but the hamster's dead, amen. That's this generation, amen. People are crazy. People are mixed up in the head. People don't think straight. And we live in this generation that's calling evil good and good evil. I think about churches that have contemporary music and immoral lives and sensual dress, as we've heard adequately preached on this morning. People say, oh, we need to be more relative in this day to this generation. And what they've done is try to meet this generation on a worldly level, and they brought the world into the church. And listen, that evil and that sensuality and that carnality is not good. People calling evil good. Well, evil's always been evil, and evil will always be evil, and evil is not good. It's good for nothing. That's what it is. I had a man one time ask my son, he was just a young junior age boy, maybe a little younger, and said, Nathan, does your mom and daddy pay you to be good? And he shook his head. No, they don't pay me to be good. He looked at him and said, well, you're good for nothing because they don't pay you to be good. Amen. I thought that's pretty good. But listen, all this stuff that the devil's trying to bring into your life, into church, and trying to bring the church down the world's level, that is not good. God's people need to live on a level above. Amen? Be ye holy, for I am holy, God said. Now, I want to set the record straight this morning. The world promotes that which is evil, calling it good. We ought to be promoting that which is good and calling it good. Amen? People trying to exchange darkness for light and light for darkness and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, and that just does not work. Will y'all allow me, with the time I have left, maybe about 8 or 10 minutes, listen closely to me. I want to share with you some things that God said. Are you listening, young people? I want to give to you some things this morning that God says is good. The world's already told you what they think is good. Listen, I want to, as a preacher of the Bible, the Word of God, I want to give you some things this morning that God says is good. I want you to turn to some of these passages. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. I hope you can tell this morning, I love you guys. I want you to turn out right. I want you to go for God and not be entangled by the world. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, the Bible says this toward the end of that chapter. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, the Bible says this in verse number 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good what? Against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The Bible says, for there is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You want me to tell you what's good this morning? I'm telling you, I've experienced, amen, I've received God's so great salvation, and I'm here to tell you this morning, being saved, having God's salvation is good, amen. It's a good foundation. I'm glad I know the goodness of God, and I know what it is to be born again. It's good to be saved, hallelujah. If you're not saved and you're in this meeting, the best thing you could ever do in your life is repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And I'm here to tell you by experience, it is good. God's good salvation, amen. God is good. And I'm glad I know of His good foundation being saved, amen. Salvation is good. Turn to Hebrews 6. I've got to hurry. Time's running short, amen. Hebrews chapter 6. There's no time to explain the context of Hebrews 6. But I want you to see in verse number 5 where the scripture says, and have tasted the what? Good Word of God. I don't know. There's an endless list of things the world would try to tell you is good. But I'm here to tell you what God said. God said the Word of God is good. The Scripture is good, amen. God's salvation is good. The Scripture, the Bible is good, amen. Let's cut to the chase, amen. Let's not talk about all the world thinks is evil that they're calling good. God has already said this is a good book, amen. The good Word of God, that's what's good. How many of you love your Bible? Oh, I love the Word of God, amen. You talk about something that's good, amen. The Scripture is good. Scripture is good. Psalm 133, verse number 1. I'm just going to mention some of these. Bible says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in you and to have the same mind with God's people is good. How many churches have been destroyed? People that get a burr under their saddle and can't get along with God's people. You need to learn to love God's people and love the church and love the family of God. Amen? You'll put up with so much with others in your life that you love. You let one person say one thing, and maybe even in a wrong way, and you're ready to quit and get out of church. Listen, we need to lay aside some of that foolishness. Amen? How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I've got to get to some of these others. Let me hurry. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Verse number 1. This is what God says is good. I didn't make this up. This is in your Bible. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 1, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. This in reference to fornication and and a relationship before marriage. Listen, young people, you better learn early on to keep yourself pure in mind and body and save yourself for that one you will marry one day. Keep your eyes, keep your hands to yourself. That's sanctification. And God said sanctification is good. Amen. Having a clean vessel. Amen. Thank God for young people that know the importance of purity in their youthful life. God said sanctification is good. Do you agree with that? You ought to agree with it. It's the Bible. Amen. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Thank God the marriage bed is undefiled, and all those things that's going on in your head and your emotions, amen, keep yourself in purity until you get married. Amen. That's God's way. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm about finished. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. The world tries to call evil good and good evil, but I'm here to tell you this morning there's some things God said is good. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12, the Bible says this: fight the what? The good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. It's good to stand for Jesus. Brother Lindsay is talking about, amen, being different, not being afraid to be isolated and be picked on and be identified as a Christian. Many of you go to public schools and places where you might be ridiculed for standing out as a Christian. Stand for Jesus, amen. Stand for Him. That's a good thing. It's good to take a stand. Man, the good fight of faith. And then last of all, turn to Psalm 34, verse number 8, and I'll conclude with this. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse number 8, the Bible says this. Here it is. This is in your Bible. That King James Bible, here it is. Psalm 34, verse number 8. I hope you don't forget this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? The Lord is good. I'm glad all these other good things God's mentioned. I'm glad I have a good Savior. Amen. Jesus is good. Amen. You know what we need to do, this generation? You need to fall in love with Jesus, because He, the Lord, is good. Amen. I'm glad I've known Jesus the majority of my life. I got saved when I was 11, raised in church. And you talk about a good life. It's good when you have Jesus. We run bus routes and pick up kids, and listen, there's some bad home situations, and it's hard to imagine what some young people have had to live through. I'm glad my life has been influenced by my good Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, I'm 53 now, and I'm here to tell you, if you want a life worth living and a good life, you keep Jesus right in the center of it, because He is good. Amen. You say, preacher, what have you tried to do this morning? Just to set the record straight, this world, it's all mixed up. Just to tell you what God said is good. Amen. He's good. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for the privilege to preach. We pray You'd take Your word, Lord, use it in some young person's life today. Lord, may they confess their sin and get rid of all the junk that the world's thrust upon them. And Lord, may they just fall in love with the good things and the Word of God that you said is good. And we'll give you thanks and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, preacher.